time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm bringing in my friend Chad Boer. Chad is a utility player. We call it the utility player at New Life Christian Church, which he serves in a variety of different roles. But one of those primary roles in any of the roles that he does is he works with volunteers and works with a lot of volunteers. And recently, we were really talking about volunteers for a few different things with the church, and as he was talking, I was like, I have to have him on the podcast to talk about how you can get specific about honoring your volunteers. I think we can honor our volunteers in a lot of general ways, and it's very effective, but what Chad does is very specific, and we're going to talk about what he does, how he does it, and what that means for you. So I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today, so let's get into the podcast right now with Chad Boer. All right, with me right now is my friend Chad Boer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. I'm actually doing much better now that you and I are talking because I was kind of stressing about getting this episode done. So I'm glad we're talking. So, Chad, I've known you for quite some time. Gosh, how long have I known you? 5 years?
Yeah, somewhere around 5-6 years.
And you work at New Life Christian Church right now. We'll get into that, but briefly share, before we get into the topic real quick, briefly share about your background. What were you doing before you entered the ministry world a few years ago? And then how did you get into the ministry world?
Sure. I was actually doing for a long time, both in Pennsylvania and here before I moved, the retail and wholesale automotive parts business. So I worked for everywhere from like an Advance Auto Parts kind of thing to dealerships. Most recently, I've been with Ford for almost 13 years until coming into vocational ministry.
And what was the thing that pulled you into vocational ministry?
Interestingly enough, after going almost 30 years of being agnostic / atheist about my views and having a rough spot in my marriage, coming to church, which is a much longer story, but coming to church really drew me into Christ and what the message was. And as I applied those principles to my life at home and at work, I found that more and more great things were happening in my life, and I think other people started to take notice. And then that's when I was approached and actually kind of asked if I'd ever considered vocational ministry, which at the time I had not. But it definitely opened up a new conversation and a different way to look at things.
No, that's great. That's cool. Well, you've got a great story, and so it's awesome having you on staff here. Well, what do you do currently at New Life? What's your role?
Officially, it's utility player, which is kind of fill in the gaps where other things and other people's responsibilities kind of end. I kind of can pick up in those areas and connect pieces of the puzzle together. I like to say unofficially that I'm a solution specialist. Figure out where things need to be.
You're a process guy, right?
Yeah, more efficient or just a better way to handle things or to get on ramps for things. Especially people and connecting people to what we do. I like to do that. So I handle a lot of Sunday morning volunteer coordination, event coordination with the volunteers, and also handle a lot of men's ministry stuff.
Yeah, you've taken the men's ministry and the marriage ministry stuff, and you've really kind of accelerated that over the last year. And it's really kind of cool to see the guys doing what they're doing, but also the focus is on marriages here at New Life. So it's been really cool that we've been able to do that with your leadership. So that's good. All right, so let's get into this because I think, again, it works with systems, it works with processes. But I asked you to do a blog post for me recently, and you happily obliged. But as I was looking at the blog post and as you and I were talking about it, I thought this would be a great topic for us to talk about because I talk a lot of ways about honoring our volunteers and appreciating them. I'm really into that. And as I've read your blog post, you have some very specific things that you do for your volunteers and people who are serving alongside with you. So let's just talk about some of those things that you do, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it. So how do you honor your volunteers? What do you do?
That's a great question. And I've taken bits and pieces from other places along the way, but everything from having a way to record different anniversary and events and things that are special to those individual volunteers, as well as what their likes and dislikes and hobbies can be, to know more about them. And then one of the things, like the blog post talked about, was how to show appreciation to them. And there's various ways that I do that as well.
Okay, so what are some you just said two really cool things. How do you track? What do you mean you track what their likes and dislikes? Like, I honor my volunteers. I mean, but I don't think I track. What do you track here?
So one of the things that I do is, as I get a volunteer that seems really dedicated to serve in doing different things with the church and in and outside, I send them a questionnaire. I created a Google form where I send them a questionnaire, and it basically asks them the things that most people learn about their friends or their spouses over time. Things like, you know, what's your favorite candy bar, or what kind of movies do you like to go see? What kind of bands do you like to listen to? That kind of stuff. And it just helps me understand more about the volunteers. It helps me show appreciation to them later, too, to understand, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily need to give a thank you card and a Starbucks gift card. It seems to be one of the church world favorites, right? And yet, not everybody drinks coffee. So you might find that person that, you know, what they really love is Snickers candy bars. And you can just hand them a Snickers candy bar one day and say thank you. And it's like, wow. You actually got my favorite candy bar. That's pretty cool.
Is that why you gave me a Snickers candy? No, just kidding. I'm kidding. But no, that's really cool. Okay, so you track – okay, you keep this in a Google spreadsheet, and you track their favorite candy bar, their favorite movies. Like, what else do you kind of track for them? Like, that would be a value. That would be kind of cool to help people remember.
Special dates is super important. So as we've learned and we've kept in our database system, and I've asked, that's part of those questionnaires too, is I find out more about like when their birthday is, find out if they have a wedding anniversary, I'll find out when that is. I like to keep those things in there. And then one of my favorites is what I call the Baptiversary, which is a phrase I kind of came up with a little bit ago, and I started using a lot, is, you know, this idea that, you know, when people have a baptism, it's something that we should remember to celebrate, you know, throughout the years, to remind them of what they committed to. And I think a lot of people enjoy that. It reminds them, it refocuses their attention. So one of my favorite things has been, we've made some cards that say, you know, happy Baptiversary kind of thing. We're all sending out text messages. I actually customized some reminders on my phone that actually lets me know a week out from baptisms, anniversaries, as well as the day of. And so that way I can remind myself to either send out a card or that day. If I'm close to the person, I'll call them, text message them. If it's their first year, I definitely love to do that. So I like to call them on their first year if I can. You hit them with the, you know, hey, do you remember what you were doing last year on this day? And then they're like, what is this? What are you talking about? And then you say you were getting baptized, and it's like, wow, you know, because some people they don't write it down. They don't think about it on a regular basis, and so that's one that really reminds them, and it shows them that I'm really thinking about them and what it means for them to be a part of the family of brothers and sisters in Christ.
No, that's awesome. I mean, and specifically, I remember that you did that for one of my daughters when she got baptized. I do believe that the year out, you sent me something that says, hey, do you remember, basically, do you remember what this happened a year ago? And I'm like, I have no idea what's he talking about? but then I'm like, oh my gosh. So he actually remembered this. And that's important. I think it makes people feel valued and cared for. What kind of responses do you get when you'll hand them the candy bar or you'll remember something about them specifically? Have you got any cool responses on that?
Yeah, one person actually recently I did an event, and this kind of ties into the thank yous too. And I get the Baptiversary ones. I always get the I can't believe that it's been a year, or it's been 5 years, or really, I can't believe that, you know, it's today. I just totally forgot, but it does sound right. It was in the fall, or the summer, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're happy. I mean, it's a really cool time. But the big one is when I thank people for stuff, which is what the blog post was mm-hmm. about. And one of the cool things, whenever you thank people, I think nowadays, especially the way that we talked about in the post, where we're talking about writing actual handwritten notes and mailing it. I did an event here recently, and I had a bunch of people that stepped up to volunteer to lead certain portions of the event. And so one of the things I did was handwrite these thank you notes, and I sent them out the very next day after the event was over. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting tons of feedback. One guy texted me right away, like when he got it, and said, got your note in the mail today. That was really cool. Thanks for that. Thanks for letting me be a part of the event. And then that Sunday when I saw one of the guys, he actually stopped me and he said, hey, got the card. Really classy. Don't think people really do this anymore. And that's what really reminded me kind of in the post of that this is kind of a lost art. I don't know that people really do this anymore.
No, and let's get into that a little bit more, dig deeper, because that was the second big thing that you do. You actually write thank you cards to people. I'm not going to lie. I don't write. I am a terrible card writer person. I will send a text message to someone. I will send an email to someone. But what's the value in that? Why did you start sending thank you cards to people? Like handwritten thank you cards, not the form letter ones, but the handwritten ones.
I think whenever we think about how canned society has gotten and digitally, especially, you know, what happens when you send a request, when you buy something, when you ask a question anywhere online on a website, like a contact us form, you within a few moments get an email back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you for your request. Thank you for your question. We've received your response.
It's so automated.
And it is automated. And I think people just disregard it immediately because it is so automated. They're looking to see the confirmation only just to know, yep, they got it, though someone's going to follow up. My email didn't get lost. Like, that's all they care about. I don't think people mostly read them. And I feel like if I were to send an email to people that get 200 emails a day that says thank you, they're going to read it throughout their day, and they're going to go from, got this meeting, got to go get that, I forgot to get milk today, and oh my gosh, Chad said thank you to me, okay, and now I got to move on to this, and oh, hey, yes, sir, sure, no problem, I'm coming right now, and it's gone. Yeah. It's in and out, and it doesn't really give them the sense of appreciation that I mean whenever I send it.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I started saying, you know what, why don't I actually say thank you in a meaningful way? Not just run by them on a Sunday morning whenever they're coming in with their families and trying to distract them. Not just sending them an email that they might glance over or a text message when they're busy and they just view it and then put it down.
Yeah.
I remember how excited I was whenever I went out to the mailbox when I was a kid and I got something for me. And now all I get is bills and junk mail.
Yeah.
So to actually be able to open up that mailbox and pull out a card that's got my name handwritten on it,
mm-hmm.
and go, what is this? And open it up, and it's a handwritten note that specifically thanks me. It's not generic. It doesn't just say, hey, thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hope to see you soon, Chad. It actually says, hey, thank you for leading a group during that breakout session at that event. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming in to set up so many weeks in a row, putting down carpets and chairs, or thank you for grilling at the cookout. Mm-hmm. I know that it means a lot to the other folks that you were here doing it, and it specifically thanks them for what you're appreciating them for.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds them that those things do not go unnoticed,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just this generic, everybody's getting it. It's taking the time to say thank you for this specific thing that really helped me out. And I usually put some sort of encouragement towards the end, you know, keep up the good works or something. Just remind them that they're making an impact. And then you mail it. Put it in the mailbox. There is something to be said for handing stuff to people, but you know, I still think taking the time to put their address on it and put a stamp on the thing and put it in the mailbox means something.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, you're not kidding, and I'm sure everyone listening to this is not kidding either. When we go to the mailbox, we only expect to get two things, bills or advertisements, like you said. I mean, it is what it is, and I throw away half the stuff, and I rarely ever get a handwritten note anymore, and it's a lost art, like you said, and that's what makes it even more valuable, more important, and it actually challenges me and with my leaders that, like, how many times do I – like, I think I do a good job of honoring my volunteers and appreciating them. But I don't get it specific as what you're talking about. And I think what you're saying is it really makes a big difference when you're getting specific. You actually know someone. You're taking the time to get to know them and what they like and what they dislike so that you're not giving a Starbucks card to a guy who hates Starbucks or coffee in general. Yeah. Like you're giving them something they want and it makes them feel valued. So.
No, I agree. And I think that's why it's important to do it. And one of the things that helps the value, to be honest, which I mentioned in the beginning, is keeping track of it. If you're in a large organization, this can get really overwhelming. And the two things that I would encourage people to do if you're in an organization where you're going to be thanking hundreds of people over the course of a year is, you know, you can manage this really well. If you just make it a point to write two thank yous a day, 4 or 5 days a week, you can crank them out without it feeling like it's overwhelming or that it becomes root in how you're doing it, where it's almost like you're writing the same thing. It gives you the opportunity to really make it custom, and it's not overwhelming in each one of your days, as well as keeping track of who you send something and when you send it to them, because you can't overdo it. It can become less sincere. Even though you might mean it sincere, in your heart and you really do thank that person, appreciate them that much, if you send them a card this week and then next week they get a happy birthday and the week after that just happens to be their baptism and they get a baptism card and then 2 weeks after that they help you do something on a Sunday morning and you send them another thank you and they've gotten six thank yous from you in the course of 2 months,
yeah.
It loses its meaning. It sure. loses its power. So I tend to – I keep a record of that, who I've thanked and when and how, and that, and I just keep it in a simple spreadsheet, and that way it reminds me approximately every 90 days out that if I haven't said something to somebody, I can say, oh, wow, that person's definitely due up for me to stop by, give them a phone call, whatever, and really show them appreciation.
Good. This is awesome. I love it. I love all this stuff. That's why I was like, I got to get Chad in here to talk to him about this, because this is something of all the podcasts I've done or even writing I've done, we haven't gotten this specific on things, and I think that makes a big difference. So let me ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can I send people your email address and say, hey, if you want a copy of this spreadsheet that you did, you can send them a very generic copy?
Yeah, it's an Excel sheet, and it's customizable if they know how to do Excel formulas fairly well. It's not too advanced, but there's a little bit of some combination math in there, but it's, yeah, I can send it to them.
I'll connect them with you and your email, and then they can connect with you, or I'll connect them to your Facebook page as well.
Sure.
And they can ask you questions, because this is awesome. It's helpful, because as we all know, we can't do ministry without volunteers, and if we're not honoring and appreciating them, we're never going to get anywhere. They're going to leave eventually. But the more specific we can get about it, I'm discovering right now, is that we got to get more specific about it. And that's going to help and encourage people. So this is great. So, Chad, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
All right. So there you have it, my conversation with Chad. It was great having him on. He's been on before a long time ago, and he did kind of a group chat with us. But Chad's been great as he works with systems, he works with processes, and as he's worked through all this stuff with volunteers, that's a great formula that he's done to specifically minister to his volunteers, and they really appreciate it in everything that he does. And so I'm really thankful that he got on and shared with us. So I would love to hear from you about this. What stood out to you from what Chad does? How is what he's doing directly applies to what you can do? I would love for you to share with me on that. Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear what you're thinking on this. Hey, before I let you go, though, I want to, again, an announcement coming up next week, August 7th through the 11th. A few of us, some ministers and bloggers and podcasters from all over that have covered different spectrums, are participating in the Summer Ministry Vlog, not blog, but Vlog Week 2017. And you look up the hashtag SMV Week 17. It's a great opportunity for a few of us ministers to get on, and we're actually going to do video blogs, which is hence vlogging. And so you can actually, I'm going to include the link on my show notes for who's doing it, what they're talking about, and where you can find their vlogs. But you can also look it up on Twitter using the hashtag SMV Week 17. It's a fantastic opportunity for us to do this vlogging and sharing our content on video rather than just on writing or on podcast. So I would love for you to check that out as well. All right, heroes. Well, thanks for joining me today. As always, go to ymsidekick.com and check out all the new blogs, vlogs, podcasts that I have coming up. And make sure, if you're not a subscriber to this podcast, subscribe. Go to iTunes, or you can even go to ymsidekick.com and subscribe as well. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I can't wait to talk to you next time with an all-new podcast.